The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, covering the world of Bears football on and off the field with Anthony Adams and Lauren Screedon, brought to you by Jimmy John's and airing every Sunday night at 11:05 on Fox 32 Chicago, or go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears. This week on the show, Alshon Jeffrey visits local veterans and military families, Raymond Harris recalls his role on Married with Children, and Anthony Adams tailgates at Soldier Field. Man, that's a lot of
better
food, by the way.
Food, that's
a
right.
Lot of food
for double A.
Yes. You heard from Charles Leno, our guest for the full hour. Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zaidman. We are inside the PNC studio at Hallis Hall in front of Bears season ticket holders in attendance tonight on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. You had a chance to do, there's that segment where double A takes big guys in compact cars.
Yeah.
What was that like with him?
It was fun. Double A is a character. He's a funny guy. I love being around him. Good energy. And he took up a lot of space in the car, but I've managed to fit in there.
And he's considered a funny man.
Yeah.
And apparently we had Vlad Dukas on, who's one of the Bears offensive linemen. And he was talking about how there's one guy that never shuts up in the offensive line room on the practice field. And it's the guy sitting right next to you. You wouldn't know it, but he's always telling jokes. Apparently, you are Jay Leno.
He said me?
He said you.
I never
he
shut
said
up.
You're, look at you smiling.
Wow.
He said you're a funny man. you know how to light up the room. And that's what he said.
Yeah. I got a couple of jokes underneath my sleeve. Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm Jay Leno funny, but I'm.
How long did it take, though, for you to gain the confidence in that room to be able to make jokes and have a good time?
Yeah, so early in the OTAs, I believe, we just had a tight-knit group. I love the guys around me. Every single guy in those rooms, I loved them. I love them to death, you know. So it just helps you open up more, and I'm starting to be more comfortable. I am comfortable with those guys. Like, I'll take a bullet for those guys, you know. Those guys are really like my brothers, so it's all good. It's all love in that room.
You know, you got to pick and choose your right time in an offensive meeting. You got to know when it's okay to do that. But Zach and I have done this show before with Kyle Long, and Kyle does a great impression of Coach Magazoo. And he's, you know, a peculiar guy, has the look about him. Does he ever do it in front of Coach Mags?
Oh, all the time.
Oh, does he? Good.
All the time.
You can't waste an impression about somebody that you look at in the meetings for, you know, you guys are in meetings, what, 4 hours a day or more? So, I mean, you really become in tune with the mechanics of your coach.
Exactly. And Coach Magazoo, he always sets – he gives us layups so we can get at him, so it's perfect.
For people who don't know, Dave Magazoo grew up in New England, so he's got a little bit of that thick Boston-like accent, and that's where Kyle Long, you know, there's certain phrases that he'll say. You know, we can say, do your job. Coach Magazoo says it a little bit differently than we say it.
Yeah, he does. I won't give it to you because I don't know how to say it like Kyle does. He's a character.
Hey, you know, I want to talk back a little bit about your college. You played 39 consecutive games, so you got durability built into you. When you went through the learning transition when you first got here, was that always your goal to get back on that consecutive game start and then take it wherever it goes in the NFL? Because I think you, when you commit to the mentality of an offensive lineman, and I look at you, you have that 39 consecutive games. That takes a commitment to the game.
Yeah.
Is that the same mindset you're here now as a young player that, you know, your future is unlimited?
Yeah, absolutely. I pride myself on not trying to be in the training room. I try to work as hard as I possibly can. I try to stay flexible. It's a lot of different things I try to do to make sure I'm not in the training room, because that's the way that limits you from having those consecutive starts and things like that.
I know, you know, back in your past, you got a little basketball, a little defensive end. Were you a better defensive end or basketball player?
Basketball player.
Really?
Yeah. I was good at defensive end, but I love playing basketball. I just like dunking and getting rebounds. That's it.
Are you still a fan of the game now, or do you have so much time invested in football that's kind of where your attention goes until the season's over and then you're into basketball?
Oh, no, I'm still a fan. I've been to 3 Bulls games, so I hope the Bulls can win the championship, even though I am a Warriors fan, low-key. I want to see a good matchup.
Don't be low-key. Your team won the championship. You got arguably the best player in the game today outside of LeBron.
I'm in Chicago right now. I want Chicago to do well in the East, and I want to have the Warriors meet him on the West side.
That's just because he wants to be able to attend the games in person.
That is very true.
Right, his ticket position just went up.
With Charles Leno here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. It's interesting. You went to school with Shea McClellan.
Yes.
And Did you talk to him a lot before you became a Bear when you guys were teammates at Boise State?
Yeah, I didn't talk to him that much because I know when I was in college and he came to the NFL, it was just like I wanted to give him his space and time. But once I got here, me and Shay been talking ever since, and he's just a good guy to be around. He kind of, you know, helped me out with a couple of things around the way, and he's just a good person to be around.
What player at Boise State set the NFL in motion? What was the guy that gave everybody that came there over a certain period of time believing they could go to Boise State and get into the NFL?
Well, for me personally, I would say Ryan Clady. Mm-hmm. Ryan Clady he got drafted, I think, 12th overall and
by the
Broncos. And he was just a guy for me. It's like, he can do it. And he came from Boise State. I know I can do it. And he's just a good person to, like, look up to as well.
When we come back, one of the things I want to hit is there's so many different personalities in the Bears offensive line meeting room. I want you to give us a snapshot scouting report on each one. I think one of the coolest things is there are some veterans in that room, no question, but there are a lot of young guys, relatively similar in age and NFL experience, who are growing together. And that's got to be a cool thing because you're not doing it alone.
Yeah.
So we'll find out. There's Kyle Long. There's Hronis Grassou. There's Vlad Dukas. And then there are the veterans. So we'll get the scouting report from Charles Leno Jr. next on the Bears offensive line room right here on Bears All Access in front of our friends, the Bears season ticket holders in attendance tonight at the PNC studio at Hallis Hall on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Tune into the Bears Coaches Show, brought to you by McDonald's, with Jeff Joniak and the Bears coaching staff Monday nights at 6:30 on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. In front of Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman. Charles Leno Jr., the Bears left tackle, is here, and so are Bears season ticket holders in attendance tonight at the PNC studio at Hallis Hall. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. All right, so let's get the real scouting report on the guys in the room. We've got you at left tackle. And then let's go with the lineup that's been used the last couple of games. You got Vlad Dukas right next to you. Native of Haiti, moved to Connecticut at a very young age. You could say he's still learning football. He can speak English, but he speaks English with that little French accent.
Yes.
And that creates some interesting situations for you guys when the crowd is loud and you're on the road, right?
Yeah, it does. But me and Vlad have been working together for a while, so it doesn't create quite as much tension, but it's funny being around him because we have certain calls that can sound same, and he'll just go with the other call. I'm like, no, it's not that one. Let's go with this. And he's like, okay, got it. And he moves right onto the play, and he's good blocking with.
But you played with three different guards this year. You played with Matt Slauson, you played a game with Patrick Omame, and then now you play with Vlad Dukas. How hard has it been for you, or do you guys spend enough time in meetings that the terminology whether you're saying is correct, it's just different timings out of the guy's mouth? Because I'm sure Slauson at the beginning saw things as quickly as anybody, and then you have to go through the other guys you played with.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right about that. Slauson, he's a veteran. He's a guy that, you know, knows his job and he knows it well. But I think the biggest thing is not the terminology, it's the fits. When it comes to double teams, you fit different with different guys. Like, I know personally how to fit with all three of those guys now because I have been playing with them.
And it's not like, can you explain that to people who obviously have never been in the trenches? It's not like you have a lot of time.
No. I mean, you know, you talk about a half a second or three quarters of a second is a long time. And you have to be able to exchange information with never saying a word. You just know each other's, the way they go about things. You can see the balance in their stance. You can tap elbows as you're breaking the huddle. And then when you're fitting into a combination block, if we're going to block this guy to that second level guy, the fit has to be perfect. The shoulder contact, the head placement, the hand placement. When Charles Leno knows that he's going to take over the block and his offensive guard is going to go up to the second level, there's all these minor, you can make 50 adjustments within the course of the quarterback's cadence. Well, if this guy shifts from this eyeball to this eyeball, you know, it changes. You know, from right eye to left eye, things change. So those are all those minor adjustments that you have to make. And then it's got to be five deep, sometimes seven deep if you include the tight ends and all the changes because, like I mentioned, you don't have time or you don't have the ability to verbally communicate the changes.
Now think about what you just said and all the different people that you guys have been forced to rotate into the offensive line because of all the injuries. That says a lot about – the ability of all these guys to process the information.
Yeah, and it shows with our practice. The way we practice, we do a phenomenal job of just, you know, trying to get that right fit in practice, you know, whether that's individual or within the team. So it starts with the practice work and then the film work. You know, we got to talk with each other. Like, I know I talked to Vlad before the games and after the games, like, hey, how do you like that fit before, after the game, or before the game, like, hey, this is how we're going to do this. So it's just a lot of repetition work.
You know, how do you take advantage of the technology that you're offered today? Again, back in my day when you played a game, everybody got on the plane and you didn't have an opportunity to evaluate your performance until maybe 30 hours later when the films were done and you get a projector and then you all had to share it. Now these guys take a shower, go to the airplane, and it's already on their iPad. Are you – well, you got to be familiar with that because you're a young guy, different from my generation, but do you take advantage of that? You have the opportunity to go, hey, Vlad, check out this while still fresh in your memory?
Yeah, right. Right on the plane, I, like, look at the iPad. I'm taking notes. I'm jotting down how I felt like I played, how well I did, what I need to correct. And then if I see something, I walk up to Vlad and like, hey, check this out. What do you think about this double team? Maybe next time we can do this a little bit differently.
And then you got to go talk to Martellus Bennett and Zach Miller. And yeah, if there's
those are the guys that – you know, you got to spend time with talking to, because they're out there catching touchdown passes. You know, Zach scored 2 touchdowns. He's out there wanting to catch the ball, so they don't want to block nobody. But,
but you know, Martellus, he can block like a tackle. Yeah, I mean, you talk
Martellus
about
Martellus is a physical specimen, yeah, and he can block like a tackle. But at the end of the day, he want to get some touchdown blesses.
I had one of your buddies tell me that Martellus made a lot of friends in that game against the Rams on the field. For people who don't know, we can talk about it now, because the Rams have a certain reputation, let's mm-hmm. be honest. I think the rest of the league knows about it. And the Bears come out for warm-ups. You know, at one point, Zach Miller and Jay Cutler just trying to play catch and warm up. The Rams are not moving from the spot. And, you know, they're trying to ice you guys and play the games that they play. Then there was another point where Martellus, I think there were like 4 or 5 Rams, mm-hmm. and he was willing to take on all of them by himself.
Yeah, that giant can take on anybody, I believe. You know, he's 6'9". Yeah, he can take on anybody. But, yeah, those guys, you know, their reputation they have were the bully on the block. And they started that on their defensive side of the ball. You know, Greg Williams, that's what he preaches. And we know how we play. We're a tough physical team as well. We're not going to take any BS, you know. So we came out there with the mentality of we are the tougher team, and we're going to prove it.
Yeah, beat them with toughness and smarts. It was interesting because you guys had the lead at halftime, and right before you took the field in the second half, I think John Fox called over all the starting linemen, and he preached stay poised because he knew what was coming from those guys.
Yeah, once it gets to a certain point in the game when it's kind of getting out of reach, that's when teams start to take this dirty shots, or they start to, you know, bicker back and forth. And, you know, being a championship team, you don't let that phase you. We want to keep our mindset on the game, finish it, and move on to the next opponent.
Well, I think that's the greatest reward to an offensive line is when you do have a little bit of a lead in that late third, fourth quarter, when you can continuously run the ball, and it's just such a sign of power and confidence. And I remember one play that Martellus had blocked the defensive end for so long, and the defensive end got so frustrated he wouldn't let Martellus go. But he was frustrated because he was getting blocked, and I kind of get a kick out of that because – you want those guys thinking about that more than trying to get in their technique and do their job right.
Oh, yeah, if you're blocking a guy up, like if I have a guy locked up and he's trying to get off and I still have him, that's mentally messing with him, you know, not bickering back and forth. It's mentally messing with him because he's like, this guy is really good and he has me locked down. I got to find a way to get off of this.
Hey, quick scouting reports on the other side. You got the 2 ducks on the team. You only call one of them duck, though, and that's Hronis Grasu out of Oregon, the rookie. What's he like?
Hronis, he's such a nice guy. It's so hard to get underneath his skin because he's so nice. It's like I want to say things to him. I want to get underneath his skin, but he's just like, whatever. He just brushes it right off.
You know, the centers, there's only one of them. They got a unique personality because they got to get really good friends with the right guard, and they got to be just as good of friends with the left guard. Yeah. And that's what, you know, throughout my career, Jay Hilgenberg always used to say, listen, do my job first and then do yours.
Yeah, and then help the tackle.
Right.
So that's why we get the short end of the stick, you know.
You know, his parents own a pizza shop. In Hollywood.
Yeah, when I go to L.A., I'm definitely going.
You guys need to make him make you pizza, and it's New York style, not Chicago style. Yeah. It's not even a competition in his house. He doesn't even compare the 2 styles of pizza. But yeah, you guys, did he cater any of the when you guys were in San Diego? They should have catered the post-game meal.
Yeah, you should have. I would have loved it. But I don't think that would have been the right meal for the game.
They don't allow them to eat that after following the game. They're worried about getting nutrients in their system.
And before we head to the break, because you've played tackle, what's it like to see what Kyle Long has done, making the transition essentially with a week of preparation before the start of the regular season, to make that transition from inside where you're just coming off the ball and you're using power, where you got to be a little bit more patient,
yes,
as a tackle on the right side?
It's great to see him grow. You know, early, he's the type of player that would get frustrated because he wants to be great and he can be. But I always try to tell him, Kyle, it's going to take time. You're just going to have to be patient and keep learning your sets. And it's funny today, like we were just talking, he was just like, I feel really good out there. I'm like, because you look good. You know, just keep doing the same thing that you've been doing and, you know, it'll come along.
You have an appreciation for that as well.
Well, I did. I played 1 year left tackle my junior year in college, so I know how hard the position is. And then I also played with Jimbo Covert, who I believe coming out of college was one of the best left tackles in the history of the NFL. So you kind of get to see it both ways. You know the difficulty of the position, having tried to play it before, and then you respect the guys who are good at it because it is, you know, there's little subtle difficulties to the left tackle position than any other position on the offensive line.
You know, you think back to your first start earlier this year where, you know, you had Khalil Mack and Aldon Smith, then you go to, Justin Houston, Tom Bailey, and then it just so on and so forth. Seems like every week you guys are taking on at least one premier pass rusher. Mm-hmm. No different this week. We'll discuss next. Charles Leno Jr. is here. So is Tom Thayer, as well as our Bears season ticket holders in attendance tonight. Zach Zaidman with you on Bears All Access from the PNC studio at Halas Hall on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. In front of our friends, the Bears season ticket holders in attendance tonight, Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Charles Leno Jr. with you. Bears All Access from PNC Studio at Halas Hall on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Hey guys, time now to decide on the player of the week from the victory in St. Louis, brought to you by Sports Authority. This is a tough one because it is clearly the best game that you guys have played in all three phases.
He never votes for offensive linemen
this season. And it's tough because you had so many of the glamour positions. You know, yeah, none of it happens if the guys in the trenches aren't doing their jobs. But, I mean, yeah, you can start with Jay Cutler. A 151 passer rating, the highest of his career, the second highest by a Bear since 1960. So the only time someone had a higher passer rating playing for the Bears. Vince Evans, 1980, Bears beat the Packers 61-7, and he had a perfect passer rating that day.
I wasn't even thought about at that time.
Yeah, it's hey, we'll keep it to the X's and O's, not the XY stuff. Zach Miller had another terrific game, 100 yards receiving before halftime, had the two touchdown catches. Shea McClellan had a huge game, yes, on defense, returning from the knee injury, was all over the place. Todd Gurley was destroying everybody coming into that game. And he wasn't the factor he was in the four previous games heading into the game against the Bears. Shea McClellan was a big reason why. Jeremy Langford, the Bears rookie running back, with another standout game for him. I mean, I can go on and on. Is there anyone I'm missing?
You're missing the special teams. They got a guy like Tavon Austin who can, lightning in a bottle type guy. He can make anything go off of a punt return. And we kind of kept him in a bottle. You know, we kept him closed in. So it was pretty well.
You know, for me, when I see a player return from an injury and maybe a little bit early than he's got the luxury of doing, you come and you play with the knee brace on for the first time. I thought Shea McClellan did an unbelievable job because when the Bears needed to get a turnover, he single-handedly got in the hole, tackled the back, got inside, stripped the ball, and fell on the fumble. That rarely happens, and I didn't have great expectations for Shea because it's really difficult for the first game you come back off of any injury. That's what made me really gain a lot of respect for Shea because he was physically prepared and he's mentally tough.
And I brought up this point during the game. There was one, you know, when you have that brace on, you're playing on that hard surface in St. Louis, that's tough enough. And Shea McClellan has talked about how there are going to be tweaks to that knee the rest of the way. He can play through it, but there are going to be tweaks during the games. And there was one point where he tweaked it, had to come back on the sideline, and he's riding the bike to kind of loosen it up. And Kyle Long, who also had to deal with some stuff during that game, comes over. I don't know if you – did you see this? Kyle Long comes up to Shea on the bike, and he goes, 8 more minutes to go. I'm banged up. You're banged up. I need you for 8 more minutes. And Shea just nods. Yep. and
that's Shea. He wouldn't say a word. He just
but he gave everything he had that day. So you want to give it to Shea? Should we give it to Shea McClellan?
I mean, I will give it to Shea. You guys both have an opinion, but I mean, to me, I respected what I watched, how Shea played the other night.
I'll let Charles break the tie. I think Cutler, he thinks Shea. You think?
I love running backs, so I'm going with Jeremy.
There you go.
Man, it's so confusing. We can only pick one.
All right, you're the man, Zach. You're the host of this show.
Oh, man. Well, you know, a running back can't do it without the offensive line. And a quarterback can't do it without the offensive line. But Shea had to come back from injury, right? He's coming back there, has to call the play, set everybody up. He's the quarterback of the defense. Granted, you need a little bit of help
from
the defensive
line,
too.
You think of that first drive of the Rams offense in that game, and you think of Shea's got to go right back, meet with the defensive coaches, see what subtle changes they're going to make sure that doesn't happen again. And boom, they did it in an instant. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you know the difficulty of hearing the scheme called in your helmet and then being able to tell all the other 10 guys out there and then constantly look around and make adjustments according to the subtle movements that the offense is making. So, to me, Shea coming back really helped these guys.
Yeah, we'll give it to Shea McClellan. Hey, Vic Fangio said that Shea McClellan was a stud in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And for Vic Fangio to say it, that's high praise because this guy has coached some of the best that have
studs
ever played.
That ever played in the NFL.
Played the position
exactly,
linebacker, too.
Including in San Francisco when he was with Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman and all those guys. So, and early on in his career, this is you might have not even been born yet. Probably not even thought about then. Yeah, but in New Orleans, he coached some great linebackers.
He played the combination of four of the best linebackers maybe in the history of the NFL in one team in New Orleans early in his career, probably before you were born. But I think a lot of people that don't know the history of the NFL kind of lose sight that Vic Fangio has developed some incredible linebackers throughout his career, and now they're beyond an age, they don't get mentioned enough.
So we'll name Shea McClellan the Sports Authority Player of the Week for his, quote, stud performance against the St. Louis Rams. So good stuff out of Shea McClellan. And I think that's given him confidence. I mean, you can just see it. The guy's walking around with a certain sense of confidence, not arrogance, but confidence that probably was missing over his first 3 years as an NFL player. So we just talked about Vic Fangio. You play for Adam Gase, the guy they call Goose in the building, the offensive coordinator, getting a lot of praise over the last couple of weeks. What's he like behind closed doors? Why is he the major reason why you guys have had the success offensively over the last few weeks?
Yeah, he's a great play caller. I give him that. And he just brings a lot of energy to our offense. I love him in the team, in the offensive room. He's just always bringing that excitement. He's like, this is what we're going to do, and we're going to do it. And we believe it. So we got his back.
Is when you guys are watching tape at the end of the game, is there more coaching that takes place after a win or after a loss? Because sometimes coaches have to approach it a little bit different. They can kind of needle you a little bit when you win a game. You know, how is that handled by Adam, who's a young guy?
Oh, he's the same guy. He tries to coach us the same way after a win, after a loss. It's always mistakes in the game when you win, and it's mistakes, obviously, when you lose. So he coaches it the same way throughout.
We got to take another timeout. When we come back, you know, I was saying that the Broncos can rush the passer. They have as good a defense as any defense in the National Football League. I want to find out why, and is there something you can do when you watch other teams to successfully attack what they try to do defensively. Charles Leno Jr. is here. So's Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman from the PNC studio at Hallis Hall in front of Bears season ticket holders in attendance tonight. This is Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Boeing, the Bears, and the USO of Illinois are proud supporters of our troops at home and away. Help someone you know. Support the USO. Go to usoofillinois.org. In front of Bears season ticket holders in attendance tonight at the PNC studio at Hallis Hall, this is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, our guest for the full hour. It's been a real entertaining hour with Charles Leno Jr., the Bears left tackle. Can I call you Chuck? That's what your teammates call you, right?
They call me so many different things. It's ridiculous. It's Jay, Chuck, Charles, Leno, whatever.
What do you like?
What do I like?
Yeah, because that's the most important.
Leno. If you just call me by my last name, I'm perfectly fine with it.
All right. We're with Leno.
One thing Dick always had a reputation of, he called you your formal name until he got mad at you. So Charles would go to Chuck, just like William Perry went to Bill, you know, and he did change it if, you know, it took you out of your formal name to the other part of
that. Did he call him Fridge?
Yeah, he called him Fridge for the most part. But if he was mad, he called him Bill. Yeah.
I like to this day, Tom Thayer's here. I'm Zach Zaidman and Charles Leno Jr. We'll just call him Leno. You call him William. You don't call him Fridge.
No, William. Yeah. I don't know. It's different because you meet a guy. He develops a nickname, but you still kind of call him, you know, by his name, how you get to know him. And he was a great teammate. He's a great guy, and he was fun to be around.
All right, let's talk modern football here, and let's talk a little bit about the Denver Broncos. Both of you guys spent a lot of time watching the video in preparation for this game. What stands out about the Broncos defense? Because statistically, I mean, all the numbers are near the top or at the top of the National Football League defensively. Why? What do they do that's so special defensively?
Want me to go with it?
Yeah, you go.
Yeah.
I believe they just play good fundamental football. They're in the right spots, and they make plays when the plays need to be made. They got a lot of turnovers because of that. You know, they get a lot of sacks. You know, a lot of guys just making good moves and on offensive linemen or making the right blitz at the right time. So they play really good fundamental football.
Well, I think one of the great things the Bears have been able to do when they face a lot of great outside pass rushers, they know how to construct the pass protection so it doesn't put somebody in the weakest of positions. And one thing about Denver, when you're getting ready to prepare against them, you do have to look at the exterior of your protection because of DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller, but you don't want to create susceptibility up the middle. But that's one of the keys that Jay has been able to do with great organization at the line of scrimmage, making sure everybody's in the right protection, you're taking advantage of the defensive backs, and then the offensive tackles, the tight ends, the H-backs, and even the guards going from inside out have been really helpful against the exterior rushers.
How much does it help because you guys, from the beginning of the offseason till now, have gone up in practice against a 3-4 defense?
It helps a lot. You know, we see a lot of similarities they do. And it's just the defense that we have and we go against. Like, I know I go against a great pass rusher every day in practice in Pernell McPhee. You know, so I'm not out there like, oh, it's Von Miller, oh, it's DeMarcus Ware. I'm more like, I need to know my job. Like, who am I blocking? I'm more concerned of that more than the person I'm blocking.
Yeah, a lot of times it's knowing who you're blocking and where your most immediate help can come from. Because if you don't overset or you create your own weakness, everybody's blockable, and it's more difficult if your help keeps an eye on you. So it's nice. That's what I'm saying. The conversation between offensive linemen or even tight ends, it never ends.
Yeah.
Because every single player, every single stance, there could be an adjustment.
And it can change just like that. You know, a guy might walk down on the line of scrimmage. You have to make an adjustment right before the ball snapped. So.
All right. So now take us behind the scenes without giving stuff away. When you guys were getting ready to play the San Diego Chargers, there's a guy on the team, the Bears, by the name of Mitch Unrein, who played for San Diego at the beginning of the season. So he kind of knew the play calls of some of the guys on the other side. Does that stuff help?
This stuff helps a little bit, but from the tape, you see it, and they give away tendencies, and our coaches do a really good job of picking up on those.
The reason I bring it up is, and Tom, you can expand on this as well, there's an intimate knowledge that the Bears coaching staff has on the personnel on the other side. Now, granted, they play a different scheme this year than they did with John Fox as the head coach, but they know the strengths and weaknesses of each player.
Yeah, but, you know, every year, every week, you get an explanation of the personnel you're going to play against, their strengths and weaknesses, and what they determine to be something you want to take advantage of. But it's about the study time that the offensive line put in together, the film they watch, because there are noticeable things that you can see from first down to second down to third down, and that's how you make yourself a smarter player before you ever get there.
But, Charles, from the Broncos standpoint, there are no surprises as to the type of offense that Adam Gase is going to run. Those players know. I mean, they practiced against it. They know exactly what the philosophy is in a given situation, but they just don't know the personnel running this offense. Is that a concern? And can you guys take advantage of them thinking that you're going to do certain things in certain positions?
I don't think it's a concern, just out the fact that you said that Gase does know the personnel, so he knows what areas to attack. I mean, I feel like we have a really good game plan, what we're going into, and I'm really confident in our group. I feel like we can get this done because of the preparation that we've been putting in and the play calling of Adam Gase.
You know, they may become familiar with Adam Gase, but Adam Gase is not the same guy with Cutler that he was with Peyton Manning. There's a lot more that evaluation that goes after the play was ever called to the ear of Peyton Manning than what Jay is specifically looking for at the line of scrimmage. And that's why I think the patience that Jay has shown breaking the huddle, being able to bring the clock down, making sure he doesn't get his offensive line edgy, I think that is a key element that will help them against Denver more than anything else.
I had so many more questions about this game, and it's kind of cool that the Bears are in line to play what's considered a big game even nationally. You know, it's not just Chicago and Denver focused in on this game. I think there's a lot of intrigue around the National Football League about what's going to transpire Sunday at Soldier Field. I don't know if you know this, but John Fox doesn't say a lot when he's in front of one of these, a microphone. But, you know, he spent 4 years there, led that team to the playoffs four consecutive years, including 1 year with Tim Tebow, took him to a Super Bowl, and now he's no longer the coach there. What does this game mean to him? We'll discuss next with Charles Leno Jr., Tom Thayer, Zach Zabeman, and the Bears season ticket holders in attendance tonight at the PNC Studio at Hallis Hall on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Spend game day with the Chicago Bears Network, starting with Bears Game Day Live, brought to you by Advocate Healthcare at 10:30 Sunday morning on Fox 32 Chicago. And after the game, Bears Game Night Live, brought to you by CDW at 10:35 p.m. after the final word on Fox 32 Chicago. Charles Leno Jr., our guest, the Bears left tackle, Tom Thayer, 85 Bear with us. I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, in front of Bears season ticket holders in attendance tonight at the PNC Studio at Hallis Hall as the Bears get ready for their big showdown with the Denver Broncos at Soldier Field. I have a feeling when the Bears come out of the tunnel at noon on Sunday, man, it's going to be electric. After those two road games and what you guys were able to accomplish, that's got to fire you up, Charles.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to coming back home. It's been a while since we've been home, but I'm just looking forward to the crowd. It's going to be a lot of energy. We're playing against a good opponent. You know, we're getting our groove, and I just can't wait to get out there.
But, the better you get, the higher the expectations are. And the expectations of the Bears fans is going to be high. And I think that's going to be added a neat element to this game, because you're going to have to get over the John Fox emotional attachment to this game and then just start playing football. So I think we're all excited to get to the game and watch you guys come home for a long time, you know, for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, but I know the Bears fans are raising the expectation, and we're fine with that because we want to exceed those expectations even greater.
What does this game mean for your head coach?
It's a tough question because I'm not the guy. You know, I'm not the head coach. I know it means a lot to him at the end of the day because he did take that team to the Super Bowl and he did go four straight playoffs. But this is his team now, and I think this means a lot to us more than it does to that team.
But, you know, there's a lot of guys in the coaching staff and family members that are coming with that Denver attachment that they want to beat them just as bad, because everybody takes a role somehow in the team itself. If you're a family member, you have that attachment. So I think there's going to be more than just John Fox's family up there. They're going to have some heavy emotional attachments to this game, which these coaches, they put in a lot of time. They put in 80 hours a week. Right. And, you know, they may put in more time getting ready for this game, but it's about preparation for you guys since the season's began. You guys have always been prepared.
Yeah, and that's what the coaching staff preaches, you know, prepare. You know, that's the biggest thing. Like, you got to prepare to win, because that's the only way you can. You got to do it the right way, too.
How much notification did you get that you were going in at left tackle and you were going to be there? When you came in to play, did you come off the bench? Did you get a long time notice when Jermon was injured?
It was in Seattle.
Oh, in Seattle. Oh, it was like go in.
Right. Well, that was my point.
It was like go ahead, and I kind of like felt it. I was like, is he okay? And then it was just like offense up, and I was just like, yeah, I'm going ahead.
Well, that was my point of the question, because that was the same way I was inserted. They said, hey, the guard got hurt, you're in.
Yeah.
So you don't have a long time prepared for. You got to be prepared for that second.
Yeah, and it's no warm up. The only warm up you get is your next rep.
Yep,
your next rep. You better be warm by then. So it was pretty it's pretty intense, especially going into a place like Seattle where those pass rushers and things like that.
But to be fair, you were always, every time the starters at the time when you were not a starter, they come back to the bench, you had your head right in there in the meeting as Dave Magazoo was talking and showing everybody the pictures. So mentally, you're staying involved the entire time.
Yes.
Because if you didn't do that, there's no way you could go out there and have success on the field.
Mm-hmm. Any adjustment that needs to be made, everybody needs to know. Coach Max always has, like, oh, this is that look they're showing. Well, we have to adjust to this. And you got to be on the, you got to be on top of it, because once you get out there and you make that mistake, that can be your opportunity wasted.
Do you still have the same nerves now at the beginning of the game, then you settle down as the game works on? Because, you know, there's nothing like that moment that you're inserted into the game. But now, you know, you've been there. You have the experiences. But what is your pregame stomach like? Are you a nervous guy, or you excited with anticipation?
Oh, it's a butterflies that's excited with anticipation, because if you don't have butterflies in your stomach, there's something wrong with you. This game is, if you don't play this game with passion, you should have that in you. You know, it's always there.
And that will be a great way to segue to Sunday, because we have to wrap it up here. For Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zabin. Charles Leno Jr., thank you so much for spending some time with us this hour on Bears All Access in front of Bears season ticket holders in attendance at the PNC studio at Hallis Hall on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.